Good morning. I'm calling this meeting of the House Early Childhood Finance and Policy Committee to order. I'm Representative Dave Pinto, the chair of the committee. Welcome to members of the public who are joining us. I want to direct your attention to our committee website, where you will find information about the meeting, including an agenda and the materials that support the bills that we're going to be hearing, et cetera. This meeting is being held pursuant to House Rule 10.01, which allows for virtual meetings of this type. And I think that that's all I have for the lead-in, and so I'm going to ask the clerk, Mr. Dozna, to please take the roll.
Morning, everyone. Representative Pinto, Chair.
Present.
Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
Present.
Lead Franzen.
Present.
Representative Bennett.
Present.
Representative Bolden.
Present.
Representative Daniels.
Present.
Representative Dabney. Representative Dabney. Representative Damuth.
Present.
Representative Juergens.
Juergens present.
Representative Cotiza-Watoon.
Present.
Representative Morrison.
Morrison present.
Representative Wasliwick.
Wasliwick present.
And Representative Wolgamott. Thank you. We have a quorum.
And thanks, Mr. Dozland, and thanks all. We have a set of minutes from March 1st of 2022. So I'm going to ask the Vice Chair, Representative Pryor, to move approval of those minutes.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. Any additions or corrections, members? I'm not hearing any. All in favor of approval of the March 1st minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So not hearing any, those minutes are approved. The motion passes. Thank you, Representative Pryor. So members, we have three bills up today to work our way through. The first, actually, I think the first two, in fact, two of the three are from Vice Chair Representative Pryor. Representative Pryor, I invite you to move to bring House File 3701 before the committee.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 3701 to be before the committee.
Thank you. Representative Pryor and members, I should probably note this bill is going to need to go to Education and Finance, but I believe, Representative Pryor, that you have an amendment that still needs to be worked on. So the plan is to discuss it today. We'll have testimony, et cetera, but it sounds like there's just a bit of cleanup that needs to be done, and so we'll expect to bring the bill back up pretty soon for a vote. Is that correct, Representative Pryor? Oh, perhaps not. Oh, I'm sorry, the wrong bill.
Yeah,
we're mixed up. Thank
it's
you.
The next one, yeah.
That'd be the other bill. Thank you so much for correcting me. My apologies. So this bill is all set, but I think the plan is to include it in a possible budget bill. So anyway, Representative Pryor, if you can describe the bill, and then we'll move on with the testimony. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what we have before us is House File 3701, and this is a bill supporting some changes that need to be made in statute coming from Department of Human Services, a number of different points that policy changes that need to be made. So I can just at a high level talk about these points and these areas. The first one is safe sleep, and this comes from a safe sleep work group. And it aligns statutes with the American Association of Pediatrics recommendations and provides clarification on safe sleep practices. Another area is child care regulation modernization pilot project authorization. So that was a lot of words, but just briefly, we did in 2021 fund modernization for our statutes relating to child care licensing center at both child home-based, family-based, and centers. So this modernization, as we roll out the recommendations, there'll be pilot projects that are using the new risk-based violation system. So in order to make sure that we can do these pilot projects, we need to make a couple updates in our statutes to go with that. The next area is special family child care. And that's just some clarification in those statutes. And finally, there's a review of the annual reviews and those requirements. That's just, again, some minor tweaks to statute right now to bring things up to date. And I would like to now turn this over to testifiers for further details about these different areas.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. And I should note, I believe this bill was brought, is an initiative of the administration, DHS, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is correct.
So, okay, good. Thank you. So then we'll hear from folks from there. So Mr. Zempel, I think you're up first. So please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chris Zempel, Legislative Director for Operations with the Department of Human Services. And first, I'd like to thank Representative Pryor for authoring our bill. As Representative Pryor mentioned, there are four main sections to the bill. That first section was the safe sleep changes to statute. This coming out of an informal working group over the past few years that included stakeholders, the Department of Health, the Department of Human Services, counties and tribes, to really help provide clarity for those providing care to children about what products can be used for safe sleep. This language is waiting on an amendment. We are working on a culturally specific definition, and we're waiting for those stakeholders to bring us that language. So that'll hopefully be coming soon, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Zempel. Yeah, more further from you?
Absolutely. And so getting in a little bit deeper on the special family child care. So the two changes to that statute last year, as Representative Pryor mentioned, that the legislature passed a new child care provider type, the special family child care. And this is just cleaning that up in two ways. One, allowing DHS and the counties to communicate directly with the direct providers of care. So under this new special family child care license, an organization like a church might hold the license, but there might be three separate providers providing care under that license. Right now, DHS and the counties would need to communicate bulletins and changes to law or anything that we'd typically communicate directly to the provider to that license holder. And then hope that the license holder would pass that information on to the provider of care. This change would allow us to communicate both with the license holder and directly with that provider of care in each of those separate programs under this license. It also requires that these primary providers of care have the same level of training as family child care providers. Right now in statute, it's not clear that they would need that same level of training. So this is just bringing that into parity with what's already in law. And going just a little bit further into the annual review. So currently in statute, the definition of annual or annually as written or as understood by the Office of Legislative Auditor is that we should be visiting these childcare programs in the same month in each subsequent year for inspections. Which is in conflict with the Child Care Development Block Grant, which is aligned with national best practices that we should be visiting at different times of the year. And so we want to change the annual or annually to once per calendar year to align both Minnesota state statute with the language of the Child Care Development Block Grant. And I think the final piece and the one that I would like to spend just a little bit of time on here would be the child care modernization pilot project. So this really is just giving DHS the ability to carry out what the legislature passed last session and allow us to run these pilot projects, which are incredibly important to testing out the new models that the legislature has charged us with developing. Without this language, we'll be unable to try out the new child care models because we'd have to hold those programs to current statute. So incredibly important that we get this passed this session, Mr. Chair. And with that, I will stand for questions.
Okay, I think if we have any quick clarifying questions, members, please raise hands. But otherwise, we do have a second testifier from DHS, and we'll be able to have more time for questions at that point. We'll have Ms. Dodson. I did want to note before we do that, just that Representative Dabney had was not quite on during the roll call, but joined us right after. Just want to note his presence. But Ms. Dodson, if you can please identify yourself and proceed. There we go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Alyssa Dotson. I am the Division Director or Deputy Inspector General for the Licensing Division. And I don't think I have anything additional to add to Mr. Zempel's testimony here for those, but I am available for questions or clarifications as well.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Dotson. We did have one public testifier sign up. I don't believe that she's on. I'll just say her name, Ms. Cunningham. If you are, please unmute. But otherwise, we'll see if she pops on before we finish up here. With that, I think we're ready for any questions from members about this DHS proposal regarding child care regulations. Anybody have anything? Looking for any hands. I am not seeing anybody. So there we go. I guess I'll just confirm. It sounded like from what Mr. Zempel said that there will be some adjustment to the language coming. The plan is to lay this over. And so I guess, Mr. Zempel, I just ask you to keep in touch with Representative Pryor and with the committee regarding that. Assuming this moves forward in a budget bill, we can incorporate that change at that point. So Representative Pryor, yeah, Mr. Zempel, anything you want to add on that?
No, just want to thank you, Mr. Chair, and we will definitely keep in touch with Representative Pryor.
Okay, good. Representative Pryor, you get the last word as usual if there's anything you want to add.
No, Mr. Chair, I think that we covered, some changes in statutes that are needed and necessary, and look forward to seeing the final words on the amendment and that the bill would be included. So.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Representative Pryor, and to the really hardworking folks at DHS. We appreciate your work. And so with that, House File 3701 is laid over for possible inclusion in a committee budget bill. And we will move on then to the second bill, the one I mentioned before, Resident Pryor. So House File 3485, and I invite you to move to bring that before the committee as well.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to bring forward House File 3485.
Okay. And then Representative Pryor, it was my understanding, again, that this is a bill that will need to go to education finance, but there's an amendment relating to our work that still needs to be finalized. And so the plan is to bring this back up, this bill back up for a vote at a future time. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that is correct for 3485, okay. Also an amendment. But this amendment really is needed before the bill does proceed, just to clarify the intent and just tighten up a little bit the way it exists right now, the language of it.
Okay, we can kind of see how things go during the conversation. So please, if you can present your bill, then we'll move to your testifier.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. So House File 3485 expands revenue for school age programs by expanding the age range to students in pre-kindergarten through eighth. What's important to understand about this revenue is this is giving the school district's ability to levy, which they have right now. And then the equalization part of it that the state does is more of the finance part. But the need for levy is for the children that have special needs. And so it's important to understand that this is about school districts meeting the needs of special education children, and that we recognize that even in these early age groups of 3 and 4 year olds that are in preschool programs right now in school districts, there are children in these programs that do have these special needs. So during the day, those needs are being met in their preschool programs, but once a child is in a preschool program in a building with the staff there, many parents also need an extended day programming, which is the childcare part of it. So what this bill does is it's trying to meet those needs in the extended day part of the program. So during the day, there are school districts, such as my Eden Prairie School District, that has programming, preschool programming for 3 and 4 year olds. They stay on for extended day. And what we're finding is, especially after what we've gone through and what children have gone through the pandemic, it's even more obvious that there's needs that are not being met right now in the extended day program. So that's what the intent of the bill is to use to allow school districts, which already have this authority in the K-6 group, to find funding and have a funding for meeting special needs and extended day. This extends it now to these younger children, the children that are already in these preschool programs of 3 and 4 year olds. And it also recognizes that we have middle school children, the 7th and 8th graders that might also need this extended day program and have those students with special needs also have the resources to be able to participate in those extended day programs and have have those the education that they need or the care that they need in those extended day programs also be recognized and funded. So this does relate to school funding and our formula for school funding and what the state does for levy when we make changes with levies. But really we want to recognize that we have children right now in programs in the state of Minnesota, 3 and 4 year olds that have that are in extended day programs. And this includes some resources for children with special needs to be met in these extended days. So that's my explanation to introduce the bill. There's some more work that we're doing on it to get this clarified. But what I would like to do is turn it over to my testifier from my Eden Prairie School District. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Representative Pryor. So Ms. Hoffman-Bram, if you can identify yourself and then please proceed with your testimony. Get you unmuted here. There you go. Hello.
Hello. Yes. Thank you, Representative Pryor, for authoring this bill and your wonderful explanation. I don't know that I'm even needed, but I will provide some points. And Chair Pinto and representatives of the committee, thank you for the opportunity. It's greatly appreciated. So I am Dr. Sean Hoffman-Bram. I am the Senior Community Education Director for Eden Prairie Schools, and I do oversee our early childhood and preschool programs here. What's I think important to note is that the demand for childcare beyond the preschool instructional day is growing rapidly. And since 2018, Eden Prairie has experienced about a 400% growth in demand for childcare beyond preschool. And this is very similar to what my colleagues are experiencing in neighboring districts. So we know that working parents or parents going to school need that longer day. So what this bill is allowing is for the continuation of services, if you will, for children with special needs or special circumstances that might cause some situational challenges that are receiving services already in their instructional day of preschool to continue those services in the childcare portion. Right now, currently in Eden Prairie, we experience a great disconnect. When students are in preschool, then they extend into the childcare portion of the day, and those services have to stop. And so that has caused great disruption, both for the student in that situation, dysregulation, some stress and anxiety. And then obviously that impacts the entire classroom, the group of students, staff, much higher stress levels there. We have attempted over the last few years to look at costs on our own to continue some of those services. And with a fee-based program, typically that's factored into the tuition increase, which then on the other end prices some families out of the program, which not only then do we have a discontinuation of childcare, but often it could result in children pulling out of their preschool instructional day, which then is counterproductive for us because the whole business we're in is to try to prepare kids for kindergarten. The funding then, obviously in the expansion of the language, that would include 3 and 4 year olds and up to grades 8, allows school districts that choice to leverage revenue to continue those services, provide that stability for children, and provide that continuity and stability for the classroom that they're in. Oftentimes we see that students on IEPs are, not all the time, but often typically behind developmentally, cognitively, different things like that than their peers. So now when we look at the older age groups and the seventh and eighth grade or middle school programs, obviously there's an assumption that when you mature to that age, you should be somewhat independent, somewhat self-sufficient in your ability to supervise and be accountable for your day-to-day duties. With some of these children, parents are not comfortable in that situation of allowing that independence for fear of highly vulnerable situations for their children or sheer safety concerns if they're left home alone. So the expansion of the ages to age 3 and 4 and the expansion of the language to include through grade 8 would accomplish the district's ability to offer programming or continue services for those families who have children in these hardship cases on IEPs or different diagnoses that need that extra structure and supervision.
It's Hoffenbrand, thank you for your testimony and for your work for kids. I really appreciate it. I believe that you are the only testifier. I know we have a couple of folks available for questions. So let's see if there are any. Representative Wasilewicz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe Ms. Hoffman-Bram can answer this question. I know I work in a school-based childcare program and I sort of know what it looks like for some of our kiddos, but can you talk a little bit about what that provision of services actually would look like in the childcare program? So, you know, we know that we have special education staff that help and paraprofessionals. Can you just give us an idea of what that would look like to continue those services into the extended day hours?
Ms. Hoffman-Bram.
Sure, thank you. Typically, it comes in mostly the areas of extra support, so the trained support that we might need. So we have in our school district special education paraprofessionals. There's a different qualification and different training that they have, and they're closely aligned with the IEP and some of the services and strategies that students would need during their instructional day that we could then continue those kinds of professionals into the extended day program, along with the benefit of extra resources if we pull in outside therapies, mental health, different things like that to support these situations. Those could be included in that arena as well.
Thank you. Representative Wasilewicz, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to say thank you to Representative Pryor for bringing this bill forward. As a professional who works in a school age care program and who has worked with kids with special needs, it is a big need for our programs to be able to have the extra services and support from specially trained professionals. It can be really difficult when we don't have that training and that background. And so I just want to thank Representative Pryor for bringing this bill forward. I think it's a great idea that's sorely needed in our school age care programs.
Thank you, Representative Wasilewicz. Members, any other questions or comments? Looking to see any other hands. And I am not seeing any. So, again, we will have this bill come back up for a vote. But members, if you do have anything now, we do have the expertise of Ms. Hoffman-Bram, so I'm going to be able to take advantage of that. Please ask anything you have. But otherwise, Ms. Hoffman-Bram, we really appreciate it. Representative Pryor will give you the final word as usual.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for bringing this bill into our committee because probably our main concern is with this younger group. And as we know on this committee, as we know in the K through 12 committee, early intervention is the most effective intervention. So if we know that there are children and we know that they might, as they, the importance of early childhood, there are children with special needs and developmental differences, and that it's up to us to be there for those kids and be providing the support and the services that they need all day long that they're away from their parents. So this can be very impactful, and it's going to have, if we can get this right in these earliest years, and this is only one avenue. I know that there's other places where children are in preschools programs and in extended day programs and care programs. We want to get to those too, but this is one area that we have right now that's coming forward and we can do the right thing for. So look forward for more clarification and more discussion, and appreciate the consideration this morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. I appreciate it. So thanks again to Ms. Hoffman-Braham. So with that, the chair does lay over House File 3485 for possible inclusion in a committee. Actually, I guess we'll lay it over for further consideration, because I do expect to be moving it on. So thank you again, Representative Pryor. So then, members, to our third bill of the day, we're moving along, House File 3622. This is Representative Wolgamott's bill. And Representative Wolgamott, I'd invite you to move House File 3622 to place it before the committee. We're having trouble hearing. Yeah, Representative Wolgamott, we're not able to hear, at least I wasn't able to hear you.
Okay.
No. Oh, there you go. Getting better. You're a little bit. Yeah, it's quite distant. You're kind of at the end of a tunnel. I don't know what the challenge, what the problem is.
Would you like me to call on my phone, Mr. Chair?
I wonder if that would be better. Yeah, it's pretty hard to hear otherwise. Yeah, that's okay. We can take, okay. We'll just take a quick pause. Yeah, no problem. That's fine. So members, we're just going to have a little bit of a Jeopardy theme song break. Just imagine that that's playing. While we wait for Representative Wolgamott to call in, because otherwise it sounded like he was joining us from the end of the tunnel, and we don't want to be making legislation that way. So, no problem. All good. So, and for members of the public, we are currently just waiting for for our bill author. Oh, there we go. Bill author's calling in. So we'll hopefully have him on momentarily and have a good sound connection. We are ahead of schedule, so that's a good thing. No problem. All right, we're gonna see if we can hear Representative Wolgamott.
Can you hear me now, Mr. Chair?
Can hear you quite well, Representative Wolgamott. Excellent. Yeah, so
okay, great. Thank
you. Good stuff. So I invite you to move House File 3622 to place it before the committee.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. Before we get going, that is my motion.
Okay.
And I would like to, I also have an oral amendment to offer, Mr. Chair.
So why don't you describe it, Representative Wolgamott? We usually have an amendment deadline, so we can maybe hear exactly what it is. I may consult Representative Franson to see what she thinks about allowing you to make it. I think that's what our rules provide, that I can waive, but in consultation with minority leads. Let's see what it is.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a technical amendment on line 1.18 to delete everything after family education on that line. So it would be striking four words or early childhood education. It's just to try to better reflect the scope of the bill.
Okay, so this is a bill about early childhood. Actually, why don't you, if you can, so the bill relates to early childhood family education, and so this would require that the staff member in question have a valid license as a teacher of parent and family education, and setting aside early childhood education because the focus is parent and family education. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chair. We just want to be very clear about what the focus would be, focusing on family education only. But we felt that or early childhood education was too broad.
Okay. I may ask, Representative Franson, I don't know if you were able to hear any of that, but if you would be okay with accepting that amendment at this point. We have you, I think you're still muted, so you may be tied up at this moment. Okay, well, in that case, I think what I'm inclined to, I guess if there's another member, Representative Damuth, we'll call on you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you have the bill author repeat exactly what that was for us on the oral amendment, just to make sure, as we're pulling it up, just to make sure we're looking at the language. Thank you.
Representative Wolgamott. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Damuth. On line 1.18, delete everything after family education on that line. So it would be striking four words, or early childhood education.
And confirming this is simply to put the bill in the form the author wishes. It's just the complicating factor is just that we didn't have it in advance.
So correct.
I just want to make sure because of that, to give the minority a chance to just consult. So Representative Dame, if you've still got your hand raised, and I don't think we have Representative Franson with us, so I'll invite you to share your thought. Your hand is back down again.
Oh, so. I'm here. Sorry, we're having a little technical difficulties.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Representative DeMuth can continue.
Okay. Representative Dameth, you've been handed the baton. So any comment? Otherwise, I guess I'm inclined to allow it. It does seem like a technical change. It's just to allow the author to put it in the form he wishes. But Representative Dameth, anything further?
No, that's fine, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, then in that case, we will waive the amendment deadline. Representative Wolgamott moves to amend House File 3622 to delete the words or early childhood education on line 1.18. Is that correct, Representative Wolgamott?
That is correct, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay, and any discussion to that amendment? Any further discussion, I guess you should say. So hearing none, I think, and I'll confirm as well, Representative Franson and Representative Dameth, if we're okay with a voice vote on this. I would think so. I see Representative Dameth nodding.
That's correct. That,
okay, thank you, Representative Franson. So all in favor of approval of that amendment, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, thank you, members, very much. So that motion passes and those four words are stricken. Representative Wolgamott, you have the bill in the form you wish, and so please present it.
Well, I sure appreciate that, Mr. Chair and Lead Franson and committee members. Well, yes, I'm here to present this bill to allocate two MDE staff positions to support early childhood family education work throughout our state. These staff positions will come out of existing funding from up to 2% of each district's early childhood family education aid. Early childhood family education, or ECFE, has been in existence in Minnesota for over 45 years and is available in all 327 school districts and 87 counties. ECFE parent educators provide support and empowerment to parents and families and educators. MDE positions will help support ECFE providers in their critical work. We're seeing significant demand for this. I've heard from my colleagues in both parties for the need to get parents more involved in our children's education, give parents more tools and more empowerment to determine how they best educate their kids. Mr. Chair, that's what this bill does. Parents, grandparents, caregivers from all over Minnesota will benefit from these educational opportunities. I've also heard in discussions with members of the committee that there are concerns that we would be taking dollars intended for education and giving it to the department. But the reality of this legislation, Mr. Chair and members, is that this reallocation actually puts more teachers in the classroom, particularly in underserved areas where the program hasn't been running because of just lack of resources from MDE. So that's why this bill is a real winner for parents. It's a real winner for our educators. And most important, Mr. Chair and members, it's a real winner for our children, making sure that they're getting the support that they need. So that's the bill. That's what we're accomplishing here. And with that, Mr. Chair, I have Sarah McKeever, who was a parent educator for my community in the St. Cloud and Sauk Rapids School District, to provide further testimony to this bill.
Thank you, Representative Wolgamott. Ms. McKeever, welcome to the committee, and if you can please identify yourself and then proceed.
Good morning, Chair Pinto and members of the House Early Childhood Finance Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you today about House File 3622, and thank you, Representative Wolgamott, for introducing it. As he introduced me, I'm Sarah McKeever. I'm a licensed parent educator working in early childhood family education in the St. Cloud area and Sauk Rapids Rice School Districts. I have the honor of working with parents in ECFE for the past 14 years. I'm here representing members of MNAFE, Minnesota Association for Family and Early Educators, a professional organization that was birthed out of a decision in 2003 to cut our leadership at the Department of Education to a small percentage of, you know, one person's time. So our work in ECFE is complex and multifaceted, and it actually calls for robust and experienced state-level leadership. ECFE is much more than just parent-child classes. We also conduct early childhood screening assessments, we do home visits, and we collaborate with community partners. When we work with childcare providers, women's shelters, area learning centers, English language programs, recovery centers, jails, and prisons, we build better communities. I personally work with CentraCare Pediatrics to get parents connected to resources in early childhood education. And the decrease in leadership has really taken a toll on our workforce in central Minnesota over the past almost 20 years. And COVID has not done us any favors either, especially in our rural communities. Pediatricians in central Minnesota can no longer confidently refer struggling parents to their local school districts for ECFE. This legislation will put experienced leadership in the Department of Education to come alongside higher education and local school districts and to develop the ECFE workforce, ensuring that we have family education consistently available in all 87 counties. The early years aren't just critical for children, they're also critical for parents as they develop their parenting styles and build a community of support that will take them through their child's growing up years. Because ECFE is a universal access sliding fee program where no family is turned away, we have families of all abilities, identities, faiths, and backgrounds learning and growing in community together. We have the ability to create groups that support specific populations like family literacy or groups for parents with children with special needs. Early childhood family education is a foundational piece of an equitable education system and inclusive communities. As we emerge from the pandemic, we've come to a new realization that all aspects of our well-being, both physical and psychological, depend on the solidness of our connections with others. ECFE is in the business of intentional relationship building. This is a rare piece of legislation that ultimately supports relationships. This legislation provides the leadership and support needed for districts that are striving to meet the needs of families in their communities. Leaders at the state level will help assess programs, retain staff, and train the up-and-coming district leaders that will take ECFE into the next 20 years. So thank you for your support of House File 3622. I am happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Ms. McKeever. And members, please raise hands with any questions. Representative Wolgamott, no further testifiers, don't believe. Okay. Thank you, Representative Wolgamott. So ready for questions. Representative Daniels, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the author. I'm a little perplexed here about the 2% and how much money that will provide. And then also how many FTEs MD is looking at adding. So if you could just answer those two little questions for me and clarify that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Representative.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for the question, Representative Daniels. I'm glad to clear up your perplexities. As far as the numbers of what up to, and I want to be clear, it's up to 2%. We might need less than that, but I guess I would defer to House Research for how much it would be for 2% of that ECFE, of that early childhood family education aid.
Let's get some help on that if we can, if there's somebody who can help. And I'm sorry, had you said, Ms. Beckel, yeah, please, or Mr. Strong, not sure who the right person is to answer this. Mr. Strom.
Mr. Chair, members, the ECFE revenue program is composed of aid and levy, and the estimates for 2023 show that 2% of the aid entitlement would be about $700,000.
Okay, so there's that amount. Is that, I guess, I'll, Representative Daniels will have you continue, unless it looks like you have Representative Daniels.
Mr. Chair.
Representative, I keep forgetting that you're in two spots, Representative Wolgamott. So yes, Representative Wolgamott, please, you can finish answering the question.
To the second part of Representative Daniels' question, Mr. Chair, this would be to fund two MDE staff positions to support early childhood family education work throughout the state. So it's two positions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, and Representative Daniels, back to you.
Thank you, Chair. It seems a little spendy from $700,000 per year for two FTEs to MDE, when currently we're paying about $125,000 per year for an Obmundson. So I just want to make sure that was what I was reading was correct. So if you have an answer for that, I appreciate it.
Good. Representative Wolgamott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Daniels. I want to really emphasize that the legislation is each year it's up to two. So not the full 2%, up to 2%. I would anticipate that you are correct that we will not be using the entirety of the 2%. That's why I want to be very clear that it is up to 2%. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Daniels, anything further from you?
One last thing, then. When I'm reading the bill and the summary and everything, it doesn't say that in the bill anywhere. So if people read the bill and there's a $700,000 per year and go to two FTEs, that's going to raise a lot of eyebrows. So you know, maybe some language changes need to be done, and I'd certainly be open to helping you do that, or you know, making any changes that you need to make. That's all I got for you, sir.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. And maybe just before I move on, I'll just note it says for operational expenses as well. So it's not just for you know, salaries and benefits, but operating expenses, maybe operational expenses, I will ask this, pardon me, to the next person in line, but just Representative Wolgamott, could you just describe, or Ms. McKeever, what kind of operational expenses those would be? Ms. McKeever, perhaps?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Thank you. There's so much that they could do with those operating expenses, from providing training for district leaders and teachers and state level marketing. I look at the Help Me Grow program and how we have billboards all over the state that encourage parents to do early intervention, and what could happen if we could let people know more about ECFE and the resource that it could provide their families. We have that short window of opportunity of 5 years for parents to find out and take advantage of that opportunity in ECFE. So marketing would be a huge piece of that budget in the perspective of myself and my colleagues.
Okay, thanks. And more on that, Representative Wolgamott, yeah.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to address Representative Daniels' issued a concern that there was no language clarifying that we might not need to use the full 2%. On line 1.14, the third and fourth words on that line, where it says each year up to 2%. So there is clarifying language in there that it is up to 2%. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Daniels.
Thank you, Representative Wolgamott. So Representative Juergens, you're up next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure if I really have questions or just comments. I guess I do have a question for you. Will you remind us, are we going to be voting on this or will this be laid over?
The plan is, I'm hoping that we'll have a vote on it. I think that's the expectation. So that would be the hope. That's my current thought. Representative Wolgamott.
Oh, I would add.
I'm sorry, you cut out a vote.
That's the expectation. But Representative Wolgamott, it is his bill, so certainly defer to him in terms of his hope for where it goes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to that is what I would like to do as well. This bill just received a unanimous vote out of committee in the Senate yesterday. So you know, I never like to be outdone by our colleagues over in the Senate, and they were confident in this legislation to give it a unanimous vote out of committee. And so I would like to follow the Senate's lead.
Okay, good, Representative Wolgamott. So we'll get to that. Representative Juergens, your hand is down. No, it's still up. So Representative Juergens, you still have the floor, unless there's. But I'm not hearing you,
Mr. Chair. Oh, his video is froze up.
Okay, and maybe audio too. Oh, okay. Oh no, his hand is back down. So we'll go to Representative Katiza Witoon next, because you had your hand up earlier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to speak in support of this bill. I am a co-author. I'm also a current ECFE parent and have been utilizing the program here in Eden Prairie for years, since my three older kids came home, and we jumped right into this life of parenting toddlers that I had no idea what I was doing. And I just wanted to give support to the entire community. So thank you to Ms. McKeever and all of your fellow parent educators across the state. It has been such a joy to meet other parents and feel reassured that I'm not the only one who has all these questions, and really, you know, building that community here within the community of parents and learning what we don't know is so impactful. And in the previous biennium, I served on the Education Finance Committee, and we had a couple of bills about community education and how ECFE fits into that and how different districts use it. So I think that being able to support these potential placements in MDE can really do a lot of good as far as helping to expand the offerings that are across the state. In Eden Prairie, we're really lucky. It's an extremely robust program. They offer ECFE classes for twins. They offer ECFE classes and Little Eagles classes for all age ranges, but I know that in some districts there isn't that option. So I think that having these staff members at MDE to hopefully expand the offerings across the state and perhaps even some additional virtual offerings, now that we've experienced all of that through the COVID-19 pandemic over the past couple of years, I think it'll just do so much good for so many families and parents across the state to increase their knowledge and commitment to the raising the littlest Minnesotans. Thank you, Representative Wolgamott, for bringing it forward.
Thank you, Representative Kadiza-Witun. So I often would, so Lee Franson had her hand up first. I often would end with her. We've got a couple of other members as well. What I'll maybe do is keep going with the other members, but Representative Franson, if you you are next in line, so if you want to hop in at any point, you let me know. But otherwise, I'll go, oh, I see you're unmuted, so maybe we will have you both if you want to, whatever your preferred order is.
Just because I have a bill hearing up in Commerce, or not Commerce, I wish it was Commerce, bonding, so my hair is like so terrible right now. So Representative Wolgamott, how are you today? It's nice to talk to you over Zoom, although I prefer chatting with you. You're always fun to chat with in person. So back to the 2%. So I heard, I know that it's in the bill, and I know that you have said that it's up to 2%, but I just want to, you know, say to the committee and testifiers and to the public that very rarely will government ever say, we really don't need the full amount. No, government will usually take the entire amount and then try to get more from it. Do you see any potential backlash from school districts when they find out that we are giving them up to most likely 2% cut to their budget, when school districts are saying fully fund us, and then we turn around and pass a bill that says we're going to cut you up to 2% to give a government 2 employees. And then my next question to that, Representative Wolgamott, is, as we've heard in this committee and we've heard for a number of years, that early childhood itself is one of those fields where there's a lot of expertise in education, but the wages don't necessarily follow that expertise. So these 2 new potential government employees for the early childhood program at the state of Minnesota, do you have a good idea of what their salary would be? Will it be comparable to those that have the boots on the ground that are dealing with the children every day? Or are we going to be paying them a 6-figure salary to run this program?
Representative Wolgamott.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Lee Franson. It's nice to see you too, even if it's virtually. And for what it's worth, I think your hair is looking very nice this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Yep, you got this. The bonding hearing is going to go great. Thank you for the question. So first, and I would, I'll quickly hand it over to my testifier, but, you know, as far as, you know, potential backlash, no, our people on the ground are asking for this. They want the support. They want the empowerment. They want the programming that is going to be able to come by having these 2 FTE positions in. This is going to be able to take the work that's happening on the ground in our schools and our communities and magnify it and empower it and actually give them the support and resources that they need to do their jobs. So, but I'm sure that Ms. McKeever can speak even more to this with your permission, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, let's do that, Francis, if that's okay. So Ms. McKeever, why don't you comment on that question if you can?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative, I appreciate the question. Honestly, we would love to take more funding. In my district in St. Cloud, we have a really robust workforce, and we feel like we could probably put the money to good use, but we could use the support at the state level. And we know that there are so many districts that can't use the funding that's already allotted to them because they don't have a workforce. So I'm hoping that those people at the Department of Education will be paid a competitive salary compared to their experience and compared to experienced directors around the state, so that they have what they need, the skills and the experience to support those directors in the districts, to really build that workforce and to raise up new leaders. Because honestly, it is really hard to find leaders right now in early childhood, as we're finding in all aspects of our profession. So this is just really important to all of us who are working in the field to have someone at the state level who's really got our backs. So we appreciate you taking the time to hear us.
Thank you. And Representative Franson, one thing that I think is true is I think something like a third of districts are not using the funds because they don't have people in place. Like I think they're actually unused funds right now because there's not the support. I could be wrong about that, and we could get that clarified if you you have the floor, so you can take it wherever you want to. But I think right now that's the case, that actually a lot of these funds are unused because of the lack of support. But Representative Franson, I'll direct it back to you.
So I'm just kind of curious, instead of taking money from the schools itself, why not just use new money? If I recall, so speaking to one of the ECFE lobbyists, that the state used to fund, used to have two people, I believe it was two people, funded through MDA, and over the years, it's transition to less than one person really handling these issues. So if at one point the state was doing this without this 2% funding, why not just pass legislation and utilize new funding for the program instead of, while you're saying that this is wanted, I don't know if every school district wants it, or possibly just the political ramifications of so-and-so voted to cut education funding without telling the whole story. It's because the school districts themselves want the cut.
Maybe I'll just note, Representative Vincent, I've been hearing about this for quite a while. And as you can imagine, you know, I always want new dollars for my early childhood every which way I possibly can. And I've asked that very same question. And I think that part of it is that, as you're well aware, there often is resistance to spending new general fund dollars. I mean, I think we have many colleagues in our legislature who say, hey, the state is already spending enough money. And I suspect that part of the thinking is, let's use funds let's see what we can do with the existing funds. So I suspect, but I'll allow Representative Wolgamott or Ms. McKeever to jump in on that. Representative Wolgamott?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I cut out of my phone a little bit. Would you mind just repeating where we were at?
I'll let Representative Franson, you can if you want. I'll let you, you want, or I can paraphrase your question, whatever your preference.
No, go ahead and paraphrase it. You have such a good way.
I'm going to give it a try, which is basically, Representative Wolgamott, why would we not have, why not have new dollars go to this? Why take existing money that potentially would have gone to districts? In fact, that's the way it's written, and redirect it to the agency. Instead, why not have new dollars be spent on this? Is that, Representative Franson, am I describing it accurately?
So eloquently.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, Lead Francis, if you want to author a bill to do that, I'll certainly take a look at it and would be willing to co-author that with you. I'd love to get all kinds of new money heading into early childhood education. However, as was mentioned, this seemed like a very reasonable way to be living within our means, to kind of be reallotting money that is already there, that in many cases isn't used because we need more support, because we need more empowerment. So, you know, if you want to, you know, have this huge bill of lots of new spending for early childhood, I'll be be more than happy to talk with you about it, open to signing on. But the scope of this legislation is to be within our means, to take money that is already dedicated and try to put it in different direction to fit needs that our educators and our parents are facing right now.
Representative Franson.
Chair Pinto and Representative Wolgamont, I am just loving your fiscal restraint comments right now, and I hope to clip those and be able to use them later on for our benefits. But thank you for indulging my questions, Representative Wolgamont. Chair Pinto, I got to drop off and go to capital investments.
Best of luck on your hearing, Representative Franson.
Thank you.
I'm going to call on these other members. I'll just note for them that if you don't get to this question, I want to get to it at the end, which is this idea that I think that there is that right now districts are not using the money that they're receiving because they don't have the support. And so, but I rather than derail from you all, we'll go. So we've got Representative Bennett, I think, was up next. So we'll go with you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And actually, Representative Franson asked my question. So if I could just make a quick comment, because I want us to fund early childhood education. It's very important, but I want those funds to get down to the kids and the teachers. And I really take issue with skimming 2% off of school district funding in order to grow government. And especially at a time, Mr. Chair, and to our bill author, especially at a time when we have higher and higher costs and this terrible inflation, and then we're gonna say, we'll give you this funding, districts, but we're gonna skim 2% off so that we can fund our agencies more. And then not only that, but it just continues to grow government. I feel like if we're gonna fund FTEs, and that's a whole different discussion, that should be a separate funding stream. Because 2%, then every year that grows because it's a percentage. And I take issue with that. And because of that, I wouldn't support this bill, even though I do support getting funding down to kids and teachers. So thanks for letting me say that. My question was already discussed when Representative Franson asked that.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. I think Representative Wolgamont has just a comment in response to your comments. So Representative Wolgamont.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and Representative Bennett, I take your issue to heart. You know, I want to be clear, you're talking about growing government. This is not a new appropriation. This is simply taking existing money and putting it into a better spot. And I want to reemphasize that due to lack of support, many of these districts aren't offering any kind of programming, and these funds are sitting and going unused. So rather than having funds that are just sitting there and not doing anything, inefficient government, we're sort of taking this, putting it towards a better, more efficient spot. And instead of growing government, we're actually making government more efficient. To use your terminology on your playing field here, we're going to make sure that these dollars, instead of just sitting there going to waste because they don't have the support, we're going to take these dollars and we're going to make sure that they are going to educators in the field, that they're empowering parents, empowering grandparents, to take the reins and really, you know, have a say and have an impact in their kids and grandkids' education. And I'm sure I would, that Ms. McKeever could even further illustrate my point if you would like her to, Mr. Chair. But again, we're not growing government, we're making government more efficient, we're empowering parents with this legislation.
I'm inclined to keep moving on. Representative Bennett, absolutely.
Can I just make one comment, please?
Oh, please, of course.
So, and Representative Wolman, I appreciate your discussion and so on, but I've got to say I respectfully disagree that taking money from school districts, the kids and the teachers, and sending it up to a government agency is somehow a better thing. I'm not sure the schools would agree with that totally. I part of the problem is they need to have that funding to be able to pay their teachers more. Let's get more of that funding down there. And let the districts deal with that. I don't know. I just, again, skimming 2% off is just, we're cutting funding from schools to pay for these full-time positions in an agency. And I really take issue with that. But thank you. I'll stop my argument.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. We'll go quickly to Representative Wolgamont. Just a reminder, I suspect we'll have questions possibly on similar lines from the other questioners. But Representative Wolgamont, briefly on that. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very quickly, again, I want to be clear that this reallocation actually puts more teachers in the classroom, particularly in underserved areas where these programs haven't been running because of the lack of support and guidance. So this isn't taking money out of the classrooms. This is going to put more teachers into our classrooms. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Wolgamott. Before I move on to other questioners, Ms. McKeever, towards the end, you'll get a chance to provide sort of the on-the-ground perspective on some of these questions. I'm not going to call on you now, but just sort of give you that heads up that I'll be calling you shortly if the other questioners don't, to just sort of provide your, as the person who's doing this work. But let's move on to Representative, I think both Representatives Damuth and Juergens had asked previous questions, but I think everybody whose hands is up has done that before, so we're going to go to Representative Damuth. Back to you then.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is going to be my first question on this as opposed
I'm
to
sorry.
Just one. No problem. Just sorry, when we were talking about the oral amendment was the only time.
Please go on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Wolgamott, for bringing this forward. I think this is a very important discussion. As a parent, a number of years ago, my family benefited from ECFE, both me as a parent and then also my children at the time. And I'm very aware of the importance that ECFE can play in our communities. I have a number of thoughts with the discussion that's taken place, but I just want to focus on one thing at this point. That $700,000 per year that Mr. Strom noted for us, we know that's going to be tied to the formula, so that's going to grow throughout each year. And I think that's an important thing to take into consideration. I know that it's going to be used for the two FTEs and potentially marketing, whatever else is needed to grow this program. But I want to make a comparison for the committee and for the public that may be watching. So we're talking about $700,000 up to $700,000 per year coming from our programs back into MDE to run this. But using the example of the ombudsperson for family child care, which I'm hoping any day we're going to hear that position is filled, that has not been filled yet to my knowledge, we only allocated $499,000 for over 4 years. So a family child care ombudsperson, which we know is incredibly needed, that's going to be a statewide position to help our family child care, only about $125,000 per year. So using that as a perspective, I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. I am of the feeling that if we know this position for ECFE is important, I think we could find that within the MDE budget instead of taking from our schools. And then the last actual question that I have for the bill author, Representative Wolgamott, you have said that this is going to result in more educators in the classroom. It was also alluded that we know a number of our schools aren't even using these funds for early childhood. So along with Mr. Chair, I would like to know which schools are not and why not. But Representative Wolgamont, how specifically when we're pulling funds away from school, will this result in more educators within the classroom?
Representative Wolgamont.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And thank you for the question, Representative Damuth. This is going to get more teachers in the classroom because it is going to provide them with the support and the tools and the resources they need to be successful and stay in the classroom. Right now, we're seeing severe teacher shortages throughout every corner of our state, particularly in underserved areas where it's tough to be a teacher. Our kids are facing a lot of challenges. They're inflicting those challenges on their teachers by having these ECFE programs, by having these two positions and being able to fund the operational costs, they're going to be able to provide support, not just in the Twin Cities metro area, but in our region, Representative Damuth and St. Cloud and in the Cold Spring Ricori area. We want to be able to support teachers in every corner of our state. And yes, that is going to take some resources and there will be some operational costs, but we want to make sure that we are able to provide educators with support in all 327 of Minnesota school districts in all 87 counties. So by providing them with the tools and the resources and support that they need, it is going to get more teachers in the profession and it is going to be able to retain more teachers. But again, I'm sure that my testifier who is actually in on the ground can shed further light, Ms. McKeever, on you know, how this is going to support teachers, how this will get more teachers in the classroom, how make sure that we get teachers serving, particularly in our underserved areas.
Representative Damuth, if that's okay with you, maybe it is time to bring in Ms. McKeever. I see you nodding. So yeah, Ms. McKeever, can you come in response to Representative Damuth's question?
Thank you, Chair Pinto, and thank you, Representative Damuth. It is really a complex system, and we have very few people who really understand the complexity of the work that we do. And it's been hard since COVID, especially. A lot of our really experienced educators and leaders in our field have retired in the last couple of years because it's challenging. We work with really stressed families, and that takes a toll on our workforce. And there are some really amazing things happening, especially in some of the metro districts, and that support at the state level would be able to take those models of what is successful and teach those other districts that are struggling how to do a better job retaining their teachers and helping them come up with innovative solutions, because this is just a really challenging time in all fields, and it takes really strong leaders to build really effective systems, and we're just crying out for help in early childhood. So I, again, really thank you for taking the time and asking all these great questions.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Ms. McKeever. And I'll maybe note, Representative Damuth, as I sent it back to you, that it is notable to me, I guess, this is not a request coming from the administration. This is coming from ECFE teachers themselves, who've been at this for quite a while and have been kind of desperate to get back to what they had before the cuts in 2003. But Representative Damuth, your hand, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the, first of all, Ms. McKeever, I appreciate the work that you do, and I just want to be clear with that, and then also the testimony and the answers that you've given. I'm still seeing this situation a little bit different in the approach, not taking away of the importance, but I'm seeing it from a little bit different viewpoint. That is all that I have for at this point, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Representative Damuth. I think Representative Katiza, we're going to call on you and then Representative Juergens. Representative Katiza Watoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to wrap my head around the conversation that is happening right now, because I hear so frequently from our friends on the other side of the aisle how we need to support families. And we need families to stay together, and families need two parents, and parents need to be active in their child's life. But when it comes to a program like this that actively teaches parents how to be better parents, we're all of a sudden hesitating. When teachers are coming to the legislature and telling us this is what we need, we're saying we know better. And then our colleagues on the other side of the aisle are probably going to be hesitant to vote for a funding package that could do just that. We're talking out both sides of our mouth, members, and it's not okay. There are also proposals to take money away from our public schools, put them into a voucher program. That's not what teachers are asking for. So when teachers come to us and tell us what they need, we need to listen. Early childhood educators are supporting the families and caregivers of our littlest Minnesotans. These kids are the future of Minnesota. We need to uplift them, support them, and give them what they are asking for, because that is how we build a better future for every child in the state of Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Katiza Watoon. I'm going to call on you, Representative Juergens. Representative Dabney had not spoken before, and for you, it's a follow-up question, but I'll grab you as long as I noted you. So, Representative Juergens.
Well, and just...
Representative Juergens, can't hear you. Representative Juergens, I think we've lost you, at least... I can't, it looks like from other people's faces, they can't hear you either. So I think we will go with, Representative Juergens, I'm gonna go with Chair Dabney and can get back to you for your follow-up. My apologies, Representative Juergens, we'll hopefully get you soon. So Chair Dabney, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Wolgamott, for bringing this bill forward, but more importantly, bringing attention to the challenges that too many of our school districts are having in delivering ECFE services. Like Representative Damuth, I was an ECFE parent when the kids were wee, little wee ones. And actually, whenever there was a debate between my wife and I on parenting questions, which, you know, happened occasionally, actually throughout the children's lifespans, but particularly in those critical early points, whichever of us was able to quote the early childhood educator won the debate. If only the legislature was that easy. But I'm just thinking of the attention you brought, Representative Wolgamott, and the point in time we're at, where we're hopefully coming out of a pandemic that has exposed how many of our systems are broken and failed to fully support our children, our families, and our communities over the last several years. We've stressed our education system and found where it's broke. We've stressed food access and found where that broke, but asked the schools to step in. We've stressed our healthcare system and found where it's broke. What's the commonalities? Is we've spent decades underinvesting in caring for each other and ensuring that all Minnesotans have access to what they need to thrive. And the line of argument that we just can't do it in the face of a $9.5 billion surplus, we have the resources to allow every Minnesotan to thrive. It's a choice to decide who does and who doesn't thrive. The old tapes, the old arguments about we just don't have the resources have been exposed as false. Parents today need access to this early childhood education. Bipartisanly, we've recognized the value of it in just this conversation today and any number of conversations over the years. Let's make sure that we have the leadership that we need in early childhood education, as well as the folks on the ground who are helping you figure out how to get the kid to sleep through the night or whatever it might be. Again, Representative Wolgamott, thank you for bringing a bright light on this issue. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Dabney. Representative Juergens, I'm just in case you wanted to hop back in, we weren't able to hear your question before, and feel free to unmute. It looks like you're on the phone and star six to get you in. So I'll just give a second and unmute if you wish to. There we go, Representative Juergens.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, as you can tell, I apologize, but every time I try talking on Zoom, it freezes up on me, so I'm dialed in as a backup. I guess I had questions. I think most of them have been covered by some of the others, but I just wanted to point out that to me, my way of thinking, we have to go back to what's actually in this bill, and what's in this bill very clearly is a 2% cut to ECFE funding to the schools, and it sends it to the bureaucrats in St. Paul to hire two people. That's growing government. That's cutting spending to ECFE, no matter who asked for it. That's what this bill does. And my only comment is, this isn't something I can support. I honestly don't want to be known as, to be on record as cutting spending for ECFE. And if others are okay with that, then, you know, they're welcome to vote their district. But this is not something that I can support today. And thank you for coming back to me. And I apologize for the technological issues I was having. And one other comment, it was good to see you, Mr. Strom. It's been a while.
Thank you, Representative Juergens. I don't see other hands. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to make a comment, have Ms. McKeever, I'd like you to speak. And then, of course, Representative Wolgamott, we're going to close with you. And I guess I'll ask you, Ms. McKeever, if you can, to just, again, explain to me and talk. So right now, a lot of funds are unused because of the fact that there's the lack of support. That's what I've heard from ECFE communities around the state and why they had this idea to say, let's just make this happen and put this in place. And so there's a real demand from the people doing this work saying, we need this help is what it is. But Ms. McKeever, could you just comment on that and just help explain from your perspective why this is so needed.
Thanks, Chair Pinto. The bottom line is that our support at the department was cut in 2003. And since then, we've seen a decline in our ability to serve families. And we want this in statute that says, this is money that's allocated for leadership that won't go away just because someone decides that they want to save some dollars at the leadership level, because it has been proven over the last nearly two decades through our experience that dearth of leadership is hurting our programs, it's hurting our communities, and it's hurting our parents and children in those communities. And we're just asking for this permanent change to legislation. And if our representatives from the Republican side of the aisle would like to find more funding for ECFE, that would be amazing and wonderful. But this is what we need. We need that leadership that we know we can count on far into the future that's written into our legislation, and that is a percentage of whatever money comes to ECFE from now and into the future. So thank you again.
Thank you, Ms. McKeever. Thank you so much to you and to all the advocates in this, all those who were doing this work in this space. I mean, actually, I think it's not even right to call you advocates, because what you all are is you're people who are doing this work with kids and families. And then in your extremely spare time, you're saying, please help us. And so thank you so much for coming to us seeking that help. Representative Wolgamott, you get the final word on your bill.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for the robust discussion on this legislation today. I would like to clear just a couple of things up. This is not a cut. Now, if members from the minority would like to offer an amendment to use surplus funding to fund these positions, I'd be more than open to having that conversation, and you'd be likely to get my support for that. However, we are listening to parents. We are listening to educators. We're listening to the people who are in the ground in our early childhood family education programs saying there is a better way to use our existing funding. Please fund these positions. Please fund these operational costs so that we can better do our work. I'm here to listen to parents. I'm here to listen to educators. I'm here to empower parents to make sure that they can give their children the education that they need to succeed. That's what this legislation is about. And I want to wholeheartedly ask every member of this committee to join me and to join Senator Karen Housley and to join every single member, Republican and Democrat, of the Senate Education Finance Committee by voting yes on this legislation. Thank you for the discussion. Thank you for your consideration. And we hope to earn your support to empower our parents and educators. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Wolgamott. I promised Representative Juergens earlier a vote, and so we'll get that. So I think, Representative Wolgamott, we need to have you amend your motion to refer House File 3622 to be re-referred to the Education Finance Committee. And so if I can ask you to invite you to make that amendment if you wish.
Yes, Mr. Chair, that is my amendment, and I would like to move it right now.
Okay, we're just allowing you to amend your motion. And so
that is my motion is amended, and I would like to move it right now.
Thank you, Representative Wolgamott. And just to clarify, because this relates to the levy, that's why we're sending it through, planning to send it through there. So I don't see any further hands with questions or discussions. We had a really robust one, which is great. And so at this point, I'd ask Mr. Dozlin to please take the roll.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Pryor, Vice Chair.
Aye.
Pryor, aye. Lead Franzen. Representative Bennett.
No.
Representative Bennett, nay. Representative Bolden.
Bolden, aye.
Bolden, aye. Representative Daniels.
Daniels votes no.
Daniels, nay. Representative Davney.
Davney, aye.
Davney, aye. Representative Damuth.
No.
Damuth, nay. Representative Juergens.
Juergens votes no.
Juergens nay. Representative Cotiza Watoon.
Cotiza Watoon, aye.
Cotiza Watoon, aye. Representative Morrison.
Morrison, aye.
Morrison, aye. Representative Wasilewicz.
Wasilewicz, aye.
Wasilewicz, aye. Representative Wolgamott.
Wolgamott, aye.
Wolgamott, aye. Vote results in 8 ayes, 4 nays, and 1 absent.
Thank you. So the motion passes. Your bill is on its way to Education Finance. Representative Wolgamott, thank you so much for bringing it forward. Again, Ms. McKeever, thanks to you and to the many ACFE teachers and educators and parent educators for all the work that you do. We are really, really grateful for that. And I have to say that what I heard in this discussion was, at the very least, lots of support for ECFE and for spending money on ECFE. I'm looking forward to lots of support for that going forward. And in fact, this is making me think that our budget bill may maybe it makes sense for us to be doing some boosts as well. I say, Representative Wolgamott, cheering that on, we absolutely do. And in the meantime, I'm really glad that you're going to have, that we've taken a step forward and having you have the support that you're requesting. So thank you. So members, we have got just a quick heads up about next week. So we'll have a couple bills on Tuesday. One bill's been announced. Look for one or two more later this afternoon. Should give you plenty of notice. A week from today, the hearing on Thursday, March 10th, we will be receiving the report on early childhood governance that's been prepared by MMB. And I just would invite you, it's pretty long and pretty dense. We're going to receive a presentation, but if you are like me, a little bit of early childhood governance nerd, maybe one or two of you are, I really encourage you to take a look at it even in advance. We'll make sure to have that posted. I believe you all received copies in email, but so members of the public as well, to take a look in advance. I don't see anything else, any hands or otherwise. So thanks so much for a great discussion, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. With that, our meeting is adjourned.